Worship team, anyone with a word this morning or even a testimony that you want to share before we preach? Again, the worship team, you guys are amazing. We honor you for your commitment. Anyone? Yes, please, go for it.
So we did Liberty 2 weeks ago, and I remember Christy saying after the session that, okay, great, everything's dealt with now, but just remember that there's sometimes, like, mind, you know, thought patterns that are habitual that you need to still, you know, deal with and everything as well. And I've just had such a blessed week because I have a lot of thought habits that, you know, that I'll be thinking something and realize, not going to think about that, going to think, you know. And I've just had such an amazing week. And I've been praying so much and I've been praying over things and, you know, before going to a place. So lots of play dates between Nolita and a friend of hers who is not safe, maybe is the word, I don't know. There's a lot of influence that happens. And so I've been praying before the play dates that the influence would happen positively from Knowles to her and not the other way around. And it's just been incredible how that's been happening. While I was walking home the one day, and I had just been praying a lot that day, but a car came, they had rushed around the corner and it was our right to go, and it almost hit the pram, but it really almost hit us, or hit Nolita and Makaya, and it would have been a really big accident. And I just, you know, obviously got a big fright, and then, you know, crossed the road, and the driver said sorry, but, you know, like it was my fault anyway, and crossed the road, and I just realized, like, wow, God, you really saved us. And that was my first reaction. Wow, thank you, God, for saving us from that. And it just reminded me, the enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I'm just so grateful for my children's lives that were spared from something really horrible. And also I've just been experiencing that abundant life this week. Thanks to Liberty. Yeah, so thanks.
If you've ever driven to a circus, you'll see the elephants standing out on the parking lot, right? The elephants will be out on the parking lot, these huge, powerful beasts. But they don't go anywhere. They don't run. They don't move. You know why? Because they got a chain around one of their legs. A little teeny chain with a little teeny peg in the ground that these beasts could rip out any old time they feel like it. Because they got the power. They got the power. All they got to do is jerk that leg and that little peg would come out of that and rip that concrete and tear that chain. But they don't budge. You know why? Because they were taught ever since they were a little baby elephant that when you feel this chain, you have no power. From the time they were born, when you feel this chain on your leg, that means you are nothing, you're nobody, and you don't move. Because you're not here to demonstrate your power. You're here to perform. And we got a lot of Christians who aren't here to demonstrate their power. They're here to perform. And so you come to church on Sunday and you perform, but you don't have any power. You drag in church with this chain on your leg. This chain on your leg, come up. I'm coming to worship God, and I'm coming, and he's able with this chain on your leg. And he's so high you can't get over with this chain on your leg. And he's so wide you can't get around, and you got this chain on your leg. Performing for the circus. And the hell is laughing at you, eating its cotton candy with that chain on your leg. It's time for you to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get off of me. Let me go. Get that chain off of me. I'm free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. Walk like it. Act like it. Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Did Jesus make you free? Then walk like it. Talk like it. Act like it. Hold your head up high and be free. He set you free. He set you free.
That Thank you, Mel, for that testimony. It's so relevant to what God wants to do today. So I want to thank you guys, all that did encounter three or four. Liberty as well last week. It was amazing. And God is definitely on a journey with us. This morning, I was preparing for intercession, warfare, and to take the world by storm. That was what I was prepared for. And then I've got this amazing board that helps to lead this church, or that leads the church. And they, yesterday at the board meeting, threw all of my stuff to the ground, and I have to wait now for that sermon, because Chrissy came with a word. Share it, Chrissy.
Just as I was driving into Wimbledon yesterday, we had the board meeting yesterday morning, and I really just got a bit of a download from the Lord, and it was just around just to be careful of offense. We had our Liberty last weekend. And I just feel like we've taken back quite a lot of ground, and the devil's now wanting to challenge that. And not only did he say offense was coming, but it would be a veiled offense, so that we wouldn't even know that we were offended. That was the one word I shared, and the second one was... That was it.
Explain what that means.
And then the third thing was just around being peacemakers versus peacekeepers. So sometimes we can feel that in order to love somebody, we just need to keep the peace. And we just need to accept things and tolerate things, even if it goes against our basic Christian principles. And the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper is really about loving a person in the way that Christ would. So Christ never shed away from a difficult conversation. You know, he was open, he was loving, he was accepting in confronting and speaking truth to a person. And through that, peace is able to come into a situation. So bringing things into the light in a loving manner and be able to be open and expressive with somebody.
That's good.
Excellent.
Thank you. And so Sofiso even added to that and said, listen, we can't go to the next season if all of our hearts and our wounds are not healed. And one thing that God spoke to me, for those of you that don't know, I've been in a cycling accident with Ed, the two of us, went for a lunch hour ride, and then the branch stuck into my leg. Yes. And so I'm still recovering, but I've asked God, why this now? In the midst of the amazing things that you are busy doing, why am I sitting now with a leg that can't walk? And so God was just saying to me, as the wounds heal, the congregation and the season of pain is also healing. And I'm just trusting that God would bring all of us to that page, the page where we actually can go as whole people. And so we'll do some warfare in the future. For those who of you that are, you know, as impatient as I am to give the enemy a hiding, I really believe God wants to free us first. And I want to talk about that this morning. You know, let's walk into that freedom. Because the other thing that happened is many of the participants came to me and said, listen, so the enemy is attacking me now again. Can we just have a conversation about how do I prevent the enemy from coming in again and stealing from me? And I want to talk about that this morning. How do we walk in that freedom that God has in store for us? Now, I want to use Noah as an example this morning, and I want to elaborate on that. Is a principle that I also realized. I said to everyone, but didn't you listen to the sermon that I've preached last year on, thought control and getting that right? And everyone said, well, thought control, what? Did you ever preach about it? So I'm going to use some of those principles this morning as well. Since you didn't listen that time, maybe the season is right now. Okay, so I'll mention some of them. And hopefully that will remind you of what I preached of. I even went to the, because Juan also asked me, so where is it on, the sermon, the audio sermons to download it? And I went and it's not there. So I don't know why. Maybe it's because today I can just take some of the principles and bring it back to you today. So it's Genesis 7 verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, Noah, we all know this story, beautiful story of Noah being obedient to God and God's command to build an ark. And in the midst of the situation that he was in, I want to remind you that he was over 600 years old. This was the last of the people that actually got to become so old. It was after that limited to at least, 120 years. But Noah was one of those men that was also not always, doing everything right, but he was obedient to God. And there was a moment in his life where God spoke to him and said to him, listen, build this ark and I will give you all the technicalities of it and you go and do it. But I think we sometimes forget the enormity of the task at hand. Because at this stage of his life, he's an old man. Clearly if you're hundreds of years old, you're not always up to building an ark. And then in the midst of his opposition, he's obedient to God and building a structure like this, being bigger than any structure around you. I want to remind you that in the times that he lived, there was not a lot of 10-story buildings, okay? Are you with me? So it's not as if you can hide the ark away. You must walk in your freedom. You must walk into the promise that God has for you, but everyone else is going to see it. Because building this ark, there's no ways that you're going to build a storeroom to cover it as well. All communities, and especially your local community, will see what's happening here. They will come and they will ask you some questions. Noah, are you crazy? There's no water in sight. Can we have a conversation about you being obedient to this God of yours? You can pick it up. in the midst of all of this, while busy doing this project and facing the opposition, and I must remind you that it's not just the community that's talking to him. It's Noah himself. At this stage, there's a few voices that speaks to Noah's life. There's a few voices that actually wants to influence him on what is busy happening here. It's first of all the community, and they speak very loudly. They are asking very difficult questions that he cannot answer. It's his family. Okay, Dad, listen, you want us to build an ark. Can we just have a talk about how crazy this idea is? And yes, Dad, you want us to get into this ark with you. But Dad, this is not going to work. This is a crazy idea. So there's a buy-in that he must get from his family. And then there's the voice of, Noah, you are a drunkard. You are over 600 years old. Sometimes you see some images that might not represent God. Can we have a conversation about this? The crazy idea of voices speaking to us the whole time. And I want to say to you, there's many voices that speak to us every day of our lives. And you must decide which one you want to listen to. You must decide which one you actually want to obey. Because these voices is shouting so loud. You know, my wife, before I tell this story, let me just read Genesis 7:7. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood, of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground. Two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. After 7 days, the water of the flood came upon the earth. Now listen to this. There's 7 days that goes by before the floods comes to this ark. So even though you face all the opposition and all the voices, you sit at a situation where for 7 days you need to wait for the waters to fall. I can't even wait for 1 day. To stand in faith and say, God, that promise you've given me, it's not happening. That you want me to walk in, it's not happening. Why not, God?
And yet in the midst of all these circumstances happening in Noah's life, God leaves him for 7 days in the ark, a dark place which you must light up with probably lots of food. But, you know, we can't even in a winter survive it in London and we moan and complain. These guys were for 40 days after that sitting in an ark in God's promise that they will again see land. The reason why I'm mentioning this morning is, you know what, we want to have freedom, but we don't want to pay the price that comes with that freedom. It's a place that you and I need to step into so that God can fulfill those promises in our lives. And I want to say to you, the sacrifices that we are making in our lives, in our current circumstances, is not that much. It's actually so little if you think about what the men of faith in the Bible did go through in order to fulfill life's destiny and purpose upon their lives. Walking into freedom comes with a price. And so, what I want to mention to you is those voices that we must decide and which we're going to listen to is screaming to us the whole time. Now, I want to get back to my wife's story. You know, for my wife, now I've got a friend, Yankor, in South Africa, which, you know, we're very good friends, and he always struggles to filter sounds. It's a crazy thing, but when we sit in a coffee shop, he would tell you what everyone around us is busy talking about. He would say to you, that person has a marriage crisis that's about to explode. This person is talking about business, and I can actually give him advice. This person, and then I say, but what about me? Can we just have a conversation about... You know, having a conversation here. And my wife is the same. It's always the sounds in the background that, you know, she says, no, just quiet that voice. I'm zoomed in, you know. I can just, life can happen around me. I just, you know, focus and I forget about everyone around me. You know, yesterday I've prepared my sermon. My daughter is busy looking at, you know, movies. I can zoom in. I don't need quietness around me because I can filter. You know, I can focus my attention to one thing, which is also difficult because sometimes, you know, I zoom so much that I forget about everyone around me. So, but you know what happens in life? The first thing that we must confront when we want to walk in that freedom that God wants us to is to decide which voice we're going to listen to. Noah, there was a few voices, but I can tell you nothing has changed in the society and community that we are living in, except for the fact that there's a lot more noise. Okay. Woo, are you with me this morning? There's a lot more noise happening around us. I can tell you that there's people's opinions about us. It's a voice that's shouting. Hey, you know, it's difficult to stand up in the workplace. Maybe it just, can you, will you share quickly what happened in?
Okay. So, just on Monday morning, it's really a busy time of the week. It's probably my busiest time of the week, that Monday mornings, because I have to get a couple of things out. And the two colleagues opposite me were having a quick discussion about something. I can't remember what, but the one guy was then, He blasphemes a lot, and we've spoken about it before in very calm ways, but on Monday morning again, he was calling the other call. He was also just saying Jesus Christ. And I just, at that moment, I was, with me being a little bit of tension, I guess, I was just like, Steve, his name is not Jesus, it's James. So, and Steve knows my where I'm at about him blaspheming a lot, so then he started attacking me in front of everybody and saying, listen, like, I'm not a believer, you know, like, I know how your opinions are, but, like, you know, I don't care. And then I thought that was sort of the end of it, but then James also started jumping in, and, like, it was these two guys really, like, just going on to me, and James was like, no, but, you know, also, you know, when I say Jesus Christ, it just rolls off the tongue, and it's just easy, and I was quite surprised because there was no apology, you know, was apology or anything, like just a little bit of respect or anything. Like I was just, and so it became quite a heated discussion. Like I told him, it was actually amazing because at that moment, I just told him exactly who Jesus was for me. And I told him, he's the reason I live, the reason I wake up, he's my Lord and my Savior. And, you know, I respect you guys, but, you know, just respect where I also come from. And it was amazing because it's a very open planned office. Everyone was super quiet. And, anyway, that was just a moment.
Amen. The point is, you know, it's not easy. There's many voices that shout at us and puts pressure on us to conform to different things than what Christ wants for our lives. You know, it's work pressure. I must do whatever the work asks me to do. It's a voice that's shouting to us. It's our social lives. When last did you go out with your friends? And that voice is shouting. It's your mobile. When last did you look at the notifications on your mobile? It's a voice that's shouting. There's family demands. When last did you do something with the children, with your wife? It's the Netflix series voices. And while lying on the couch, getting back from work, these voices are speaking to you. And it all wants to have priority in your life. And in order to be free, you must decide which of those voices is going to have priority over others. And I can tell you the problem that any Christian have in the society that we are living now is to make Jesus Christ the priority in their lives and the most important voice to listen to. And can I just say again, the pastor is not excluded from that. I love watching series. I love watching my phone, and I'm a news fundi. I just love, you know, seeing what's going on in politics and in the world out there. Those voices are shouting to me all the time. I must prioritize whatever voice I'm going to allow to speak to my life. And I want to say to you, if you want to be free, you must decide which voice is going to have priority. Because that voice is going to be the one that's going to rule and reign in your life. And that input is going to determine what fruit will be seen in your life. Okay. So, I quickly want to just mention Clifford Hill. Wrote a book which I actually want the leaders to read as well. It's beautiful, about just England's history and the spiritual context to it. But he says, discernment, because we must discern which voice to listen to, is not a spiritual gift. It comes from maturity and familiarity with the biblical word of God. He says, distinguishing between spirits is one of the manifestations of the Spirit of God, which Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12:10. That enables a believer to know the source of something that is communicated, particularly whether it is coming from the human imagination, from an alien spirit, or from the Holy Spirit. Okay, those three things. Either from yourself. Oh, I would love to watch that Netflix series. It will bring so much comfort. The voice that's speaking itself, okay? The flesh speaking versus an alien spirit, demonic, which wants to distract you from God's will for your life, or the Holy Spirit, God's voice. Are you still with me this morning? This is good stuff. Jackie, this is good stuff. All of us this morning, I want you to listen to these things and implement it in your life. These tools are going to help you to get free. So, for me, they often blend together, but what is also needed, and is specifically the work of the Holy Spirit, is both discernment and distinguishing of spirits. Which means that we must have the knowledge of experience, of maturity, of character building that God built over years. Which is only done through reading the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and actually discern His voice. Now, can I just say this morning, discerning the voice of God comes through hearing it many times. And in the beginning, you're going to actually get it wrong. Sometimes you're going to fall for the flesh. And you are going to start to reason about things that is actually not of God. And you will tell yourself that it's actually justified in the midst of making decisions, because you would reason yourself into thinking that you are doing right. Are you with me this morning? This is deep stuff, but I want you to move with me. But you know what?
the more you listen to the Word of God and listen to God's voice and discern it, the more you will be able to discern it when He speaks to you. And you will know how to which direction to choose and which direction to take in life. But it takes time. And it takes a lot of time spent in God's presence. It's a voice that you must allow to actually speak to you more than other voices. Are you with me this morning? And my question to you is, are you listening to that voice enough so that you can discern it when it calls your name? When it wants to speak to you? Are you every day coming to a place where you are walking in the discernment of hearing God's voice in such a way that you will not get it wrong? Because getting it wrong is to your own detriment. Are you with me this morning? And so, the first obstacle always with this process of discerning and understanding God's voice is the fact that we are in denial. That we actually don't want to admit that there's things wrong in your life. And the only way to eliminate those things in your life is to actually look at the fruit that is exposed in your life. So people would say to you, listen, you know that you are getting angry quite a bit. Do you know that your response always is reactive and also always, you know, quite aggressive when you have a conversation with anyone around you? That is the wrong fruit. Can we have a conversation about if that is the fruit in your life, there must be a root. So I can tell you what happens in our lives. We are so much in denial and we are so much preventing God to actually operate in our lives because we're so afraid to face those things and to actually deal with it because it's going to discredit us, it's going to let us look bad, that we are in denial. And the problem with freedom is you can't be in a place where you are in denial and get freedom from the things that is busy holding you. The first step toward freedom is actually being honest about the fruit in your life. Listen, if you get cross often enough, there's probably anger in your life. Can we talk about it? If you are lying quite a bit, then can we have a conversation about that lying spirit that's operating in your life? Are you with me this morning? Guys, but you know how it works these days? Our consumerist mentality says, if I don't like it, I prevent talking about it and I'll keep it away from me as far as possible because I am a good person. I'm all right. The problem with that is you never walk into your freedom. Because freedom starts when you and I get to a point where we can listen to the right voice and not deny it. To come to a place where God can actually bring freedom in our lives. Now, the second thing is that we must actually free our thoughts. That we must get to a point where God can bring deliverance and cleanse the thoughts that we have. Now, this means that we must get free from past accusations. You know, at Liberty, the guys will testify that at the end of Liberty, we would take the forms that they filled in and the tick boxes that they've ticked on things that... the fruit that is manifesting in their lives, they tear it up and they throw it in the dustbin. Why? Because it's dealt with. And you put it in the past. Now, for us, it's so important to understand that the enemy would always come back to remind us about the things that we are doing wrong. Now, listen to this. The accuser needs wrongdoing of the past to build his case for the future. So he will always bring those past tendencies in our lives, those accusations, because without accusation, there's no ways that he can bring us back into bondage. And if you don't deal with it and walk on and experience and walk into your freedom in faith, there will be no ways that you're going to be free from this. It's a time of walking into your freedom. Now, thought control. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every, listen to this now, thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled. I'm going to get back to this scripture. There's a few things that I want to mention about this scripture that's going to allow you in the future to walk into your freedom. But before I get there, I want to mention that God brings us to a place of safety against the enemy. Safe, eternal refuge of soul in God, which offers security, strength, and confidence through godly strongholds in our lives. Principles that we embrace, godly principles that brings us to a place of safety, that if we abide in them, the God that wrote the manual, that created us, and with that left the manual so that we can know which instructions to follow and keep ourselves safe, that God actually allows us to live in these principles, in these safety nets, so that you and I can have freedom in our lives. The problem is, that's the exact thing that we don't allow in our lives, because it's so nice to rebel against the principles of God to our own detriment. And you know what? As much as you get godly strongholds in your life, the enemy brings ungodly strongholds that allows you to keep on cycles of getting the fruit, doing the fruit over and over and over, so that it becomes such a stronghold in our lives that we cannot operate without it. And we spoke about it this morning. Clearly, it's easy to fall into that rut as well. Listen to the scripture. 2 Samuel 23:3. God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. Psalm 37:39. He's their stronghold in time of trouble. God wants you to live according to His principles, according to His safety nets, so that you can be safe. So, with those principles, a lot of habits forms in our lives that forms our identity. And when we get delivered from those things, we often stand vulnerable because we don't know how to live without those habits. There's the story of this one lady that said that always cut the mutton, halfway through, and then throw away the short bit of it before putting it in the oven. And so her child asked her, "So, Mom, why would you always throw away that piece of the mutton?" And then the mom said, "Well, Grandma always did it like this." And so she went to Grandma and she asked, "But Grandma, why does Mom always cut that piece off and throw it away?" And she said, "Well, I can tell you, it was actually your great-grandma that that didn't have a big stove, and she always had to cut this part off to get it into the stove, and it became a tradition in our family. What a waste, you know. And I can tell you, there's certain principles, certain traditions, certain things that is happening in your life that is maybe not so godly. And it became such a stronghold that you can't live in the freedom that God wants. And we must constantly, I can tell you, even in our family, it's a constant battle to live according to biblical principles. Because everyone in the family is diverse and everyone has their own opinion about things. But we must fight for the unity of living according to biblical principles so that we are in the safety net. Because this safety net allows us to experience the blessings of God according to what He created us to be. Are you with me this morning? And so, godly strongholds happen through embracing securities, perceptions, convictions, and even, you know, if the wrong strongholds, deceptions, that bring strongholds in our lives. And so, the one movie that I watched years ago, it's probably older than Jackie, you won't remember that. It's, you,
Yeah, you never know. With Netflix, it's possible. Eh? The Missing, it was this guy with a face. What's his name? I actually wrote it down. Did I? Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. That had this conversation with somebody else, and he said, well, there's always a white wolf and a black wolf fighting in my life. And the guy asked him, so which one is winning? He said, it gets determined by the one that I feed the most. And I want to tell you, those voices that we're talking about this morning, the input that you receive in your life, you must determine which one is going to win. What is the freedom that you want to walk in? Do you want to stay in bondage? Because God cannot help you with that one. There's a place that you will have to walk in and constantly fight for. But the beautiful thing about strongholds is that if you can resist the enemy for long enough, guess what? You embrace godly principles and godly strongholds in your life, which helps you to live in freedom. Now, I can tell you, I am so grateful for my dad and my mom because they lived according to biblical principles. And I do realize that somebody that did not have that fortunate circumstances has a lot to still embrace in their lives. I'm so glad that they gave me the kind of platform that I knew there's not enough. You know, giving to God is not a problem, because in my house, my dad, from a small age, if I got any, if it was £2, then you give 20p to the Lord. Okay? So that principle was drilled into my life. So that principle prevails in my life for the rest of my life. It's Christian principles that I live by. I can use so many others. I can say to you, respecting other people. I often think about it, and then I think, you know what? It's strange how just living in our home, my dad and mom will always have their house open for people to come and visit, and they will always honor people for who they are from all walks of life. If you are poor, if you are rich, everyone coming into our house had the privilege of getting their attention and being served as being the best person in this life. And I can tell you there was always many people living in our house. But those principles stuck till today, because I know that everyone is valuable in the eyes of God. But I see so many people that don't have that ability in their lives. They would only respond to people that are affluent, that are, you know, have their lives together, that can. And then I think about it and I think, yo, but listen, I'm so grateful for my dad and my mom that built certain principles that became strongholds in my life that I don't reason about. I don't have a conversation about this. I don't have a conversation about the fact that, you know, I'm giving to God or whatever principle, you know. There's no reasoning happening here, and God blesses me for living in His principles. Are you with me this morning? And I can tell you that the more you embrace God's truth in your life and you start to embrace it to such an extent where it becomes a stronghold, you will live a blessed life. And so, let's get back to free your thoughts. So thoughts is the word dialogismus. It's a very difficult word, and I'm going to make myself poor here if I want to say it. But that's the word. Compare dialogue, inward reasoning, questioning, consideration, and deliberation, turning thoughts over into mind, reckoning by mental questions, opinions, designs, and dispute. So I want to get back to the principles of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. So, Paul is mentioning a few things that you and I must embrace when we serve the Lord, when it gets to getting our thoughts in line with God. And he's mentioning five things there that that we can take out of that scripture. I don't have too much time now to talk about it, but I can say to you, the first one is a thought forms in our lives. Then a contradiction against the will of God, then a reasoning, then an imagination, and then an action. Okay, so that's basically what
this scripture teaches us. And this means that every decision that we make in this life will follow these patterns. It will start with a little thought, and I'm going to use a very simple example now, just for the sake of not exposing everyone or helping you to understand how simple it actually is, but how complex it also is. If I'm going through difficult circumstances, my budget is not, getting there, and I must make some decisions in life, then I start to get certain thoughts in my life. And then when you get into the shop, you see something that you desire. And the first thought that comes up is, would it not be nice to have this thing? The second thing that happens is the contradiction. You know that it's either from God or not from God. And you know the answer. But the third thing that happens is there's a reasoning that's taking place. Well, you know what? I really am struggling at this stage of my life. And finances is tight. And if I think about this shop owner, Sainsbury's has millions of pounds. And you know what? They won't even miss this this item. The next thing that happens is in the imagination. You actually start to think about how you're going to take this thing without anyone knowing it. Now, this is a simple example, but I can tell you it happens through sexual sins, the heavy stuff. It happens through lying. It happens through any sin that happens in your life happens through the same pattern. Just think about it. Sex. Now I can talk to this, it's all adults here this morning, except my daughter is actually very open to discuss these things with me, so it's fine. So the first thing that will happen is, oh, that is a beautiful woman, or that is a beautiful guy. Second thing that happens, a contradiction. Is it from God or not from God? Third thing, a reasoning. Yes, but you know what? Everyone is doing it. Is it really that bad to do it or not? The fourth thing that happens is an imagination. I actually think about how it would be to be with that person. If it's that item in the shop, I can tell you, you already think how you're going to perform that action. Are you with me this morning? And the fifth thing is the action. That you actually go to action and do this thing. So, if I can get back to thought control, I can tell you the only way that you will be able to get your thoughts to align with God's thoughts is to stop it. When? Number one. And you know what Christians does? They tell themselves, listen, that Harry Potter movie is not that bad. You know, everyone is looking at it. You know, I've seen worse. Because I'm strong enough. I'm a strong Christian. I can discern. I can actually discern between right and wrong. Are you with me this morning? Am I stirring some things? We always think as Christians we're strong enough, but I can tell you you're not. Because if that thought became a reasoning, you're going to lose the battle. Because the enemy will always outwit you when it comes to having fleshly conversations. The choice that you will have to make is to say to yourself, listen, before that lustful thought comes into your mind when you're sitting at home alone, and you have the opportunity to do lustful things, you must stop that thought immediately. You must stand up, go and jog, or do whatever is necessary to get rid of that thought so that you can walk into God's freedom. The problem with us as Christians is we think that we're strong enough. I'm going to the Christmas party with my friends because, you know,
I'm strong enough. I can be the testimony. I can be the, and I know, luckily, Melanie, you guys are strong enough. That I'm not saying this morning that we should not mingle with people that they do wrong things. I love being around people that are unsaved. So you guys know that that's not a problem. What I am saying this morning, walk away from temptation. Because you are playing with fire. If you want to walk in your freedom, start to let the strongholds in your life prevail. And that is the ones of walking with free thoughts. A place where you and I can take control and bring it under the submission of Christ. Are you still with me this morning? It's heavy stuff, but I want you to walk in the freedom. Luke 5:39, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. We love sinning. Can we just say this morning, you are not as beautiful and smart as you think. You need a savior. You will always tend to go back to the things that you have done wrong in the past. So don't tempt yourself with things that you know was a problem in the past as well. Ooh. Don't play with fire. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly have, are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Renew your thoughts with new ones. Change your thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, be by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't conform to this world. And I want to say to you, you are not going to win by having free thoughts. You know, it's strange how in the communities that we're living these days, we think that I can do the yoga thing. Woo, I must just find my balance. And if I can just clean my thoughts and have the peace and the tranquility of thinking about nothing and focusing on positive things, then it does not work. I've tried that as well. It's nonsense. There's only one way that you can get thoughts that are actually conforming to Christ. It's replacing them with God's thoughts. You can't empty your mind. You can only replace something with another thing. And that thing is living by the Word of God, allowing yourself to be transformed and renewed all the time. How much do you read the Word of God? Because the easiest way to hear His voice and to be transformed by His voice is to listening to His Word the whole time. Put it in your ears when you travel on the train. Listen to that audio Bible. Whatever. Do whatever is necessary to get your thoughts focused. And it's a beating into submission. I can tell you, if you were Noah today, and you would be in a situation where you had to build the ark, there's a big challenge for you, because there's lots of voices and lots of thoughts that's hammering you the whole time to not be obedient to God's word. And not to be obedient to God's promise for your life. Nothing has changed. Strange how we think that those are days gone. Humans are humans. I've been around the world. I can tell you I've been many places. People are the same wherever I go. Sinful, like to do the wrong things, and they will always rebel against the principles of God. And strange that they must first, you know, almost die before they realize that they need something else. They need to actually get and conform to a Savior. You don't need to go that way. You don't need to be like that elephant, being tied all the time, all of your life, and think that that is enough. There's more to this life than that. There's a place of freedom that God wants to walk you in, because you've got strength.
Because he has created you beautifully to fulfill a certain promise for your life. Are you walking in it, or are you just satisfied with being where you're at? Because if you're satisfied to be tired all the time, guess what? You're going to stay there. And life will stay miserable. Until you get to a place where you can say, God, I want that freedom. I want to walk into your promises. And so, we need to change our thoughts. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That mind is also, again, that Paul word for me, sophronismos or whatever, a combination of safe and friend, the mind, hence safe thinking. The word denotes good judgment, discipline through patterns, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. Now, can I get back to the accuser? Strange how I hear often from Christians that I'm not a hypocrite. And I think, no, you just don't have self-control. I hear many Christians saying to me, you know what, I will just be the way that I am, but I can be, you know, even rude with people around me. Because I'm not a hypocrite. I say things that comes to mind. I say things and it hurts people around them. The problem that I have with that is, you know what? It's not about being a hypocrite or not. It's about being self-controlled. It's about being at the place where God actually rules your life. And there's a very fine line here, because I can tell you, Christians often get accused by the enemy and saying, but who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to be better than the rest of your colleagues at work? You know, you are just as sinful. You are doing, and then at the end, we as Christians, you know, we forget that by God's grace, we cannot judge anyone around us, but what we can do is, I have the right to be obedient to God's word. I've got the right to stand up and say, listen, I don't expect you to do whatever you want to do. But I know one thing. I want to live according to God's principles because it works. Because it's changing my life. It's allowing me to fulfill the promise that God has for my life. And so, the choice that we need to make is to actually step into that sound mind place. That place where we can control our thoughts, where we can control our actions, where we can do whatever God has predestined for us so that we can walk in freedom. Then Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we're getting to the solution here. You want your thoughts to be renewed. You want to walk in freedom with your thoughts. It's time to meditate on the right things. I love action movies. I am crazy about those things. I like it, you know, when guys shoot and there's swords and there's... That's my weakness, okay? I like sword fights, so that just... But I can tell you, after looking at a few of them, I know that my spirit is not well. There's a place for that in our lives where we can... operate. But I can tell you guys, if I allow myself to fall for the flesh the whole time, guess what? Strongholds of violence and anger will take hold of my life. I will not have the peace of God in my life. And so, I must renew my thoughts with three things. The Word of God, and I'm not going to read Hebrews 4:12. We don't have time for it now.
But write it down if you have a pen here. The second thing is to pray in tongues, Jude 1:16. Maybe I should rather just read. From 18, how they told you that they would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's times that my spirit is just not well. There's times that I feel there's something that I must go and sort out with God. And when I spend time praying in the Spirit, reading the Word of God, I can feel how the weight lifts from me. And then the last one is the worship part. Is when I worship, I allow God to be the greatest thing in my life. I allow Him to be the priority in my life. You know, so sometimes I feel that the mood in the home is just, there's tension, okay? I've got four girls in the house. So then I would put some worship music on. Not because it's a good idea, but because I do realize that listening to worship speaks to our souls. And I want to say to you guys, when you are at that point, make God the point of worship, the point of priority, the one that matters most. And then lastly today, the third point, and I'm ending off with that. I know this is too much information on one day, but I want to leave this with you, is change your habits. It's strange how when you get delivered from spiritual things, they're on duty, small group, so relax. It's strange how these habits in our lives, because of the strongholds, became so part of our identity that when we are stripped and freed from these spiritual oppressions in our lives, we feel so vulnerable. We feel being stripped from who we were in the past. Our identity actually comes to a crisis. That when we are free, we don't know how to operate without that spirit operating in our lives. Because we were so confident in where we were that it's time to actually get rid of those. And for some of us, it means that when you get free, it's time to speak more positively. That's a habit. I can tell you there's people that always just vomits negativity over you. When you're around them, there's never, thank you for what you've done. They will just speak about, they will first see the negative thing that's taking place here, rather than to talk about, okay, thank you for what you did get right. Strange how you get people that, and I can tell you there's always a root to that, of bitterness, anger, resentment, and that thing must get out of your life. And if it gets out, it does not mean that you're going to start to speak positive. It means that you will have to guard your mouth with self-control. Can I just say that again? And don't tell me you're not a hypocrite. Self-control. Which means that every time that you speak to another person, you first think about the positive things that is going on in that person's life, rather than to criticize them and speaking negatively over their lives. If it is watching pornography or whatever, it means that you will have to change your lifestyle. And you will have to, even if it means that being alone is not an option for you at this stage of your life. Which means that if those thoughts come, you run to an accountability partner or to spend time with God. But you will have to make conscious decisions. Because I can tell you that thing is going to come after you. He's not now excluded from your life. He is excluded, but you must make sure that he stays there. Which means that he's going to
try to find comfort back in your life, and you will have to say to him, Spirit, there was a bin that I threw you away into in the name of Jesus. That's my memorial stone. You will not come back into my life. And I will beat my body into submission so that I can get back to the promises of God. But you're not going to rule over my life anymore. Are you with me? Certain habits that you will have to destroy in order to walk into the freedom that God has for you. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, I want to just say to you, or in some translations it even speaks of flee from temptation. There's two things that happens in our lives when it gets to listening to voices. The one is testing. Circumstances created for you and I to actually pass the test. The only way that you and I can be tested in our spiritual walk with Christ and to become more Christ-like is to be tested. But testing will always lead to character building. I want you to discern here, because I think you get we myself included, get it wrong from time to time. Because God will not send your way a temptation. What is a temptation other than a test? A temptation always leads to sin. So let's get back to lust. Because that's probably the most difficult thing always. The only way that you can discern is to say, but listen, if I fall for lust, I'm actually... Okay. The pastor stands alone this morning again. Are you still with me? Or are you thinking about the cake that's that's about to be received? I think there's communion as well, Jackie. Is there communion this morning? Yes, thanks. So what I want to say to you guys is for us to get to this point where we change our habits, there's a place that we must discern between testing and being tempted. And you know what? Both of them we must actually overcome. But God says to us, the solution to temptation is to flee from it. Don't think that you're strong enough. Woo! Don't play with fire and think that you have the ability to overcome the temptations in your life. You are too fleshly. You can be so spiritual. Paul even had to admit that there was a thorn in his flesh. There was some area in his life, and some even, you know, said that it was a lustful issue in Paul's life. We don't know, we only speculate. But what I can tell you, Paul was so honest about it and so transparent about it, he said, listen, this thing makes me fall every time. And I can tell you this morning, for you and I, don't think that you can play on the devil's doorstep and play with fire and get away with it. Don't, if you have a alcohol problem, don't go to a place where people are using alcohol the whole time because you're going to fall. Stay away from those temptations. But testing brings us to a place of deliverance in God giving us enough strength to overcome and to endure. And that means that, you know, if you get it wrong, it's not going to be the end of your life. But guess what? You don't want to be around the mountain all the time as well. Because God will send that test over and over until you pass it. Because you can't go to the next level if you don't pass the test. So some of us are running around the mountain for the rest of our lives. We're always going through the same test. And it's so evident. When you ask them, they say to you, again this happened in my life. Are you with me this morning? And you realize, but listen, can we just talk about there's a pattern in your life that you don't overcome. There's a pattern that you must break. There's a pattern that God actually wants to address in your life. Are you going to now withstand this and overcome the test so that you can walk into the freedom that God has in store for you? You know what? I want to live in the life and freedom that God has in store for me, and it's difficult. It's a constant battle. I sometimes sit in the ark for 7 days and I don't pass the test. Because I am always urgent. I want to, you know, get to God's promises and I want to fulfill God's doing. And I always want to run. And then God must restrain me. This morning God spoke to us so clearly at intercession and He said, we're like a young lion that wants to be released and run. But we're not ready yet. And God says, just wait. There will be a time that I will release you with all of the strength and the might that that goes with being a young lion, with authority. But for now, make sure to learn what you must out of this season so that you can come to my promises. I want to say to you this morning, God loves you enough, more than enough, to bring you to a standstill so that He can talk about freedom in your life. And freedom does not come easy. If you thought it will happen through one deliverance session, one amazing deliverance encounter in your life, then I've got good news for you. Walking in freedom is quite a process, but it's worth it. And you will experience the reward of freedom and faith in due time. Let's stand this morning. I want you to take your communion this morning, and if I can ask you again, and Ed, please, to I almost thought you want me to hand it out. This morning we partner with Jesus because He can. We can't, but He can. And there's a place of victory that He wants us to walk into, free lives. And He wants to, you know, take that chain around your leg like that elephant. And He wants to say, listen, I've got much more in store for you. You've settled for something that I never had in store for you. I've got much more. I love you. I've already written your story. Don't settle for less. Now, I want to see God's promise for my life. I want to walk in it. I want to fulfill it. And I know there's lots of chains around my leg, and it's not just the pastor. Don't judge me this morning. All of us are in the same place. There's some chains that we need to get rid of, and we must do it soon, because there's a grace period that God wants us to just walk into. There's a place where God says, listen, my child, it's time. It's time for you to experience that freedom that I have for you. We're going to sing that song. I think it was the first song that you sang this morning. I know it's about freedom. Was it that first song? Strength is rising. We're going to sing it after using the communion this morning. And I want you to do it out of your heart. This morning, step into God's promise. And just say, God, I want this. If you need prayer, I'll be here in front. I'm going to pray for you. Don't leave this place without stepping out in faith, because this is a faith thing. It was so for Noah, and it's so for you. Did Noah have issues after getting off the boat or off the ark? Yes, he had big issues. Okay, there was some ugly habits that he had to face, like drinking and being quite a drunkard.
And he had to face them. And I want to say to you guys, listen, there's going to be ugly things that's going to jump out. But it's time for you to walk into the freedom that God has for you. Is that all right?
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus this morning for your body that was broken for us so that we can have freedom. It's not out of ourselves. We have no ability to free ourselves. But this morning we embrace the cross. We embrace your body. And we eat because we know that we are part of that body. We've chosen you above all things. We've chosen you as the voice in our lives. Amen. And this morning, as we commune with you, as we eat, we know that we are reminding ourselves of our fragile state, of our inability to save ourselves. Let's eat together. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you that you've shed your life so that we can have life in abundance. And if we think about it this morning, and Jesus, we realize that the price that we are paying in our workplaces, the price that we are paying in the discomfort of being obedient to you, the price that we are paying, Father God, of doing stuff, Father God, that is not always seen as normal or as seen as, Father God, getting people's approval. Father, it's a small price to pay. We think that you came to this earth to give everything, to be in perfect unity with the Father. Thank you that we can drink this morning because we are part of this covenant and we can hear the Father's voice, and we know that your blood frees us in every aspect of our lives. In the name of Jesus, let's drink together.